Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This is episode 2 with Pastor Ray Park. Hello, Ray, how are you?
Hello again.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing about your ministries. And in this episode, I would love to hear more about your insights and the perspectives on how ethnic churches can find youth, prospective youth pastors. I was listening to your breakout sessions, and I think it was very, very helpful and very practical. So my first question is, when second generation pastors or staffs or the potential leaders are looking for church, what kind of church are they looking for? What kind of expectations do they have?
Sure. I really, you know, through many interviews and also you know, having some one-on-one conversation and group conversations with a lot of young seminary students and young pastors, I think they're really looking for healthy church. What I mean by healthy church is that, you know, it's not really limited to ethnic churches. So initially I thought they just don't want to come to serve at a Korean church. But if that ethnicity or nationality becomes primary goal of the church, for example, staying as a Korean church, if that's a number one goal, then a lot of prospect youth pastors or the next generation leaders will see that as a red flag. Because, you know, I think with the influence of gospel culture and all that, I really believe that a lot of young pastors are looking for gospel-centered and gospel-driven church. I don't know if this will be a good time to bring in the generational issue, but culturally right now, what I see, even when you see all these media that's being portrayed as a family, the recent movie that came out about Spider-Man, that animation movie, right? The family is very multi-ethnic, if you will. Right. So the father is African American, and the mother is Hispanic. So mom will, you know, mom will speak Spanish to the child, and you know, dad will speak English, and that is very well received. I mean, it's commonly received. So people who are growing up in that type of an environment and generation, when you just speak the nationality and ethnicity, it just doesn't sit well, or they cannot relate very well. So I think, and since they are really trained and brought up here in the States with, you know, American seminaries, that they want to see the churches really embracing different ethnicities, diversity, right. And churches need to be ready for those kind of things. So I think that's one thing that they're looking for. And second thing I believe is they want to find the church where they can grow spiritually. So if they are too busy with just running church program or ministry programs, or if they cannot go into a service that they can listen to a message, of course there are vast amount of resources out there online and whatnot, but they want to grow in the church where they could really call that church his or her own church, and the pastor his or her own pastor, and have relationship with them. So a relationship with the senior pastor is very important. The relationship with or the community is very important. Are there people with the same type of a mindset, or, you know, something in common that they could share to grow together? The community is also very important. Third is the people that that they are assigned to pastor over or minister to, what kind of people are they? And what kind of support will they receive? You know, younger generation, they're very analytical. I'm not talking down on my generation or older generation, but younger people are trained that way, so they will go in and start looking for those signs and ideas if this is a place where they could commit for a long time. So that's what I believe.
Okay, that's great. And you mentioned about some the connections and conversations between first generation and second generations. Mm-hmm. How could that happen, and how could healthy conversation between those two generations happen?
Yeah. So I think it's I'm stereotyping. I'm generalizing. But typically, first generation, second generation, the conversation, how it happens is usually top down. Mm. So the conversation would be the pastor will call or bring in the second generation pastor to his office, or maybe, you know, outside of the office. But it would be more of, you know, I've noticed you've done this, why don't you do it that way? It's more of a lecture or, you know, talk down type of an issue, rather than how are you? How is it going? And I believe that's what the second generation, next generation leaders are looking for from the first generation. How are you doing, you know, spiritually? Is there anything that I could support you more? What kind of ministry direction are you thinking and heading? So just a lot of positive enforcement. And that doesn't mean like you're doing a good job all the time, but it's more of checking on them once in a while. To say, you know, I want to encourage you. You're doing a good job. Is there anything that, I mean, or even asking, is it okay for me to, you know, correct you if I see something? Because I think younger generation, they're very welcoming of constructive criticism. But don't give it to them unless, you know, it is requested. So things like that, I think, would be very helpful dialogue starter with the younger pastors.
Right. Yesterday, you mentioned about some preparations for the church to welcome second-generation pastors and prospective leaders. So could you tell us a little bit about that? What areas and can they practically prepare?
Sure. So the church, in order to discover the next generation leaders, or so my whole premise of my seminar was looking at it in a different perspective, which is don't feel like you're looking for them. Understand that these younger leaders are looking for healthy churches. And I mentioned a little bit about what healthy church looks like in their view, but it's probably more than that. So in order to prepare that kind of church in the first immigrant church perspective, their accessibility, or the people that the first generation church could impact, are the parents. So really preparing the parents' mindset. A lot of immigrants came to the United States wanting to pursue American dreams, and they want their children to do well. So start from there. What does it mean to do well? You know, Jesus, when he began his ministry, he really talked about the Sermon on the Mount was really the changing the perspective of blessed, you know, what blessed look like, what blessed means. So rather than thinking of, you know, going to good college or getting good jobs, it's really about making them disciples of Jesus Christ. So what I meant yesterday during my session about preparing them well is they're going to eventually grow older, and they're going to leave home and go off to college. So if that's going to happen, then we have to have a plan to send them out. When they do that, it's not leaving home, it's not are they going to ever come back, that type of mentality, but it's more of how are we going to disciple them until or during the time frame that's given to the church and the family, so that when they go off to college, that they will be ready to go as missionaries, commissioned as missionaries, to change the culture in the campuses that they go to. So I believe that starts from home, providing some resources. So from churches, church standpoint, I think, you know, giving some type of resources for the families to do family devotion together, and with entire church curriculum to train them to become missionaries, rather than, you know, teaching them about what it means to be blessed in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's still very broad, and I know that there's really no such curriculum, but as long as you share that vision as pastors and the leaders of the church, if you share that vision with the church education leaders, mm-hmm. and also parents, and hope that some people in the church will respond to that and be able to implement that at their, you know, in their homes.
Okay. And also you mentioned about, still about the preparation, mentioned about the preparation for the other pastors in the same mm-hmm. church, and even budget and
yes.
all that. Could you touch on that?
Yeah, so in terms of other areas of preparation, so I noticed that even when I was serving at a Korean church, I did hear through the grapevine that the other Korean staff, pastoral staff who served together with me, were complaining a little bit because of, in their view, I had more privilege, more privileges than they did. So, for example, I didn't have to come to certain meetings, or I was getting paid slightly higher than others. And those are the things that I think it doesn't necessarily have to happen that way, but you could prepare other staff members to say it is a very special, unique ministry, to really educate them how valuable the ministry is. And perhaps these Korean staff, pastoral staff may feel like, then don't you think my ministry is very special? Every ministry is special. But as a pastor to, to prep them and also explain to them the cultural context of where these next generation pastors are coming from will be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And also the budget wise, if you're interviewing a next generation leader, it's very common for them to ask, what's your budget for the youth ministry, for example, or children's ministry? And a lot of times, maybe the pastors don't know. And that also gives a very wrong message. So pastors should know how much budget is allocated, and also that budget should reflect your commitment and vision. So if you say, we're so all in to next generation, but your budget is very limited and very low, that doesn't reflect your vision and your commitment. But if the church has some financial struggles, it's difficult to set apart a large amount of a budget. So it's all in the communication. You can say, for now, this is what we can do, but we're planning. So you could share with them the vision and the plan. And once you have shared them, then you better follow through.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I got a lot of questions and requests from Asian church leaders. In North Carolina, there are about 130 Asian churches, but I would say many of them, probably majority of them, don't have English ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if one of them says, hey, Sammy, we'll love to have English-speaking pastor to come and minister to our kids and youth and English congregation, but we just don't have a lot of budget.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really number one concern, and so they're not even thinking about having someone to come just because of that.
Right.
But according to what you said, mm-hmm. It's not really necessarily the money issue, but if the church is really ready,
mm-hmm.
Healthy,
mm-hmm.
there's a great potential to have second gen
sure.
years to come.
Yeah.
So what would you say, how would you encourage
mm-hmm.
those first gen pastor
mm-hmm.
says, our church is too small, we're 2 weeks, so we cannot help, but
mm-hmm.
we'd love to have someone to come and help.
Yeah.
What would you say to those pastors?
Yeah, so once again, it's really all in the communication and
mm-hmm.
understanding what these young leaders are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to find out the strength that you could offer,
mm-hmm.
There's something that these people can benefit from. So if it means pastoring, the senior pastor spending more time with these young leaders,
mm-hmm.
You could offer that. I've been in ministry for 15 years, and there's something that I could offer. So come and I want to spend some time with you, and I want to have some mentorship, you know, mm-hmm. a mentoring program that we want to form together. And so it's more of an invitation. Mm-hmm. Like I said, if the young leaders, especially if they're out of seminary and looking for a healthy church, then if they could find find a way to connect with the senior pastor and learn from them, mm-hmm. I think that could be a great selling point, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And personally, I was able to recruit a lot of seminary students to my church, mm-hmm. by offering my time. Mm-hmm. So they are definitely looking for that type of connection with mm-hmm. the senior pastor, and just to pick the senior pastor's brain, mm-hmm. in terms of ministry, and to learn more about the experiences. And another option, which could be a long shot, but what I advocate is, think of your English ministry as a church plant. And because the next generation ministry, so if you look at it from that angle, if you have about 10 to 15 people, they could be a church planting team members, a core members. And if your church become that sending church, then you could find, maybe you could discover a few supporting churches. And that's what NAM, you know, pipeline looks like. There are many church planting candidates that are being produced every day. And there are many people who are desiring to church plant. Mm-hmm. And when you present your next generation ministry or English ministry as a church plant potential, with the vision of sharing a building or church campus together, mm-hmm. so it's a one roof, under one roof, two churches model. So if you can present it, there are going to be more prospects who could look at that and go, yeah, there's some potential mm-hmm. in that ministry, mm-hmm. Despite your financial situation, because you do have some supporting churches and maybe some provision, financial support from NAM and even state convention, that they are able to then actually launch an English ministry, mm-hmm. In that way.
Great. My last question is, now what would you say to second generation leaders who are looking for a church? Mm. Just as if I'm a second gen, I have no idea, but I want to serve in the church. Mm-hmm. I don't care how big that church is, but I just want to serve.
Yeah.
What would you say to me?
Yeah, so I would definitely encourage them to be more assertive. And second is, instead of assuming, like I said, this generational issue is it's been a long issue. It's deeper than how we can, you know, portray it. So to break that barrier or to even reconcile that the relationship, there has to be initiator, and there has to be a constant work effort in terms of breaking the walls down. So it's almost like chiseling it down rather than like demolishing it all at once, I think. So what I mean by being assertive is that ask questions to pastors, and even have the burden and the calling to continue to ask, to break down the barriers, the guard that the first generation pastors may have. Mm-hmm. So even the possibility of a church plant, you could propose it to a pastor. You could maybe knock on doors of the church and say, you know, I noticed that your church has a certain number of the college students here. And I know that you may need a college pastor. Is there a possibility that you would want them to be a church plant? Mm-hmm. And you explain to the pastor, you know, what that looks like. Initially, pastor will say, no, I don't want to lose my college students. But as you share your thoughts and ideas of how through this immigration church, this new church's birth, that could be that could go beyond the walls of ethnic national church, to become a church that could be the light in the city, in your city, that could really change the culture and the temperature of your city, the local city, then I think that would be a really exciting things to see happening through Korean immigrant churches. And only way that Korean churches could do that is through the next generation. So Korean pastors need to really buy into that vision, but it's going to take a long time. But unless the second gen leaders push and bring that awareness and keep asking and keep going after them, they're not going to listen. So I would just encourage to be more initiative and assertive.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing your heart and great insights.
No problem.
Listeners, thank you for listening. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.